Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, it's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And I'm coming to you today, this week, on the Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon podcast. Of course I am. I wouldn't be doing the Freaky Fred podcast because my name's not Fred. I have been told I'm a Mike Freaky, but hey, I'm still not Fred. So there you go. Yeah, I know, weird. But hey, somebody's got to do it, and it might as well be me. What do you think? Yeah, here we are once again. Dr. Bill coming to you. The doctor is in. I'm here to enlighten you, to give you wisdom and revealed knowledge of computing just for you. All right. Well, I want to share with you some things this week. Matter of fact, we've got so much to share that I'm debating whether or not to do any geek culture. Should I do some geek culture? I don't know. I just don't know, you know? Maybe just a little tiny, tiny bit, just because.
It's all about the opinions, baby.
Okay, it's all about the opinions. A little bit of that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, Weird Al Yankovic, it's all about the opinions, baby. Yeah, yeah, I know, not very much, just a little bit, just a hint. Just, yeah, okay, we'll fade him right out there. Just a hint of geek culture this week because I've just got so much to talk about. There's just been a lot going on. But it is indeed all about the opinions because it's all about computers. It's all about technology here on Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. And, of course, we are part of the Tech Podcast Network. I want to share that with you. If you'll go to techpodcast.com, you will find a list of lots of podcasts that are just as tech-savvy as we are here on Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. And they all have a slightly different, how shall we put it, twist, flavor, you know, maybe a little different flavor in terms of what's out there and what's available. I mean, people that are talking about Macs, people that are talking about, we sometimes play the Caffeination podcast promo where they're talking about coffee and so forth. I mean, there's a little bit of everything, you know, there, and it's all about the Tech Podcast Network. So I would encourage you to check out techpodcast.com, and you'll find other people, excuse me, that are like-minded as Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. But let me quickly get past all of those things, including the fact that this is October the 14th, a Saturday, and this is indeed one of our regular podcasts. As a matter of fact, it's podcast number 58. 58th podcast coming to you. But I want to get past all of that because we've just got so much I want to share with you. First of all, my first blog after the last podcast is about an open source project that absolutely blew me away. Now, I had seen it before. This was not my first exposure to it, but they have made a lot of improvements since the first time that I looked in on it. You need to click on and watch the Flash demo that I have linked in the blog. Oh my, it rocks. It uses Ajax technology, which is basically using some JavaScript and using some other coding to enhance a website and make it more like a true local application. And this thing is called Zembra, and it rocks. The Zembra Collaboration Suite is technically the name of it, ZCS, Zembra Collaboration Suite. It's an open source project, and it is a company. They also have a commercial version, but it's all open source, and they do have a free open source version. I would encourage you to check this out. Watch the demo. You will be amazed. Imagine, if you will, having a web client that is, you know, a web-based client, obviously, but it looks like it's running a local application. It has little floating pop-up things that it does that give you capabilities like, let's say you read an email message and it has somebody's phone number in the email message. You can float over it, click it, it will launch Skype on your local computer and dial that phone number and put you in touch with that person immediately. Wow! There are also things like context sensitive links, so that, for instance, let's say that there's something you want to enter into a database, you can do a quick click, it will enter into the database directly from Zimbra. You can schedule, just like, you know, for instance, Outlook clients that you're familiar with in other regards, do group scheduling, but it's a web-based client, and it is so cool looking. You really need to click on this link. It makes Microsoft and their Outlook web access look like a bunch of pikers. I mean, it makes them look like they're in the 90s with their web technology. This thing truly rocks, and it shows the power of open source. So check it out. You will really be amazed. I was. All right, another article that I linked to in the blog, Why It's Time to Lose the Snide IT Attitude. Now, I know there are a lot of people that look at us IT types and they say, yeah, you guys, you think you're so hot, you think you're so smart, you're always putting down users. Well, you know, here's the thing. If users weren't so dumb, they wouldn't give us so much ammunition. I'm sorry, but there's just so many crazy things that come up in the course of helping users. Things they say, things they do that just make you, I'm sorry, roll your eyes and just, oh, you know. And I know I try really hard not to let those things get to me, not to just laugh in their faces. But, you know, I mean, when they're doing the business about how their computer has a built-in coffee cup holder and it's really the CD-ROM tray, it's hard not to laugh, okay? I'm sorry. But anyway, this article that I have a link to basically says, okay, it was cute at one time, it was funny at one time, but it can actually impact your bottom line as an IT person if you don't take a more business-like, calm, collected approach when dealing with your users. Your users, I know for you IT folks this is hard to hear, but your users are your clients, and they need to be treated well. So lose the snide attitude. But as I say, stupid users, well, yes, but don't let them know that you know they're stupid. Okay, go ahead and treat them like they're intelligent. Okay, and as I say at the end of my little comment here, I will try to be more circumspect with my attitude, and you folks try to be a little more computer savvy. In the words of the great philosopher, can't we all just get along? Yeah, okay. Anyway, next bit of tech news. This was probably the biggest tech news of the week, and it happened early in the week, and that is on Monday of this past week, Google Incorporated said they were going to buy YouTube, the internet video sharing website, for $1.65 billion in stock. Wow! The deal is regarded as largely defensive because it leapfrogs Google into a leading role in the burgeoning internet video marketplace. Wow! And as I say in the blog, now all those Numa Numa videos and Weird Al videos will be Google's. Uh-huh. Who says geek culture is cheap? All right. Well, you know it's coming. It's coming soon. Matter of fact, probably in the next 2 weeks. Tell them you heard it here at Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. The next 2 weeks. That's what the rumor mill says, that Internet Explorer 7 is going to go from release candidate status to full-blown release. Now, here's the thing. That means Microsoft is going to push it out in one of their Windows updates. It's going to be like an automatic push. Now, if you're like most IT people that are supporting a large network of users, I know we're trying to remind ourselves to think of them as more intelligent, but let's face it, if they are suddenly confronted by a different interface on their web browser, a lot of them are going to freak. And when they look at tabbed browsing, they're not going to know what to do with it if they haven't been using Firefox, which, of course, they should have been using Firefox all this time. But we're talking about the corporate environment here, and most of the corporate environment are still using Internet Explorer, sad to say, but it's true. Now, Internet Explorer 7 is going to be a leap forward for Microsoft. They're going to finally almost catch up to Firefox. Not quite, but almost. Oh, let's see, what does that make them, 4 years behind or more? Anyway, they're finally going to have tab browsing. They're finally going to have tools that will hopefully prevent some of the spyware and adware infections, and we're going to talk more about that when we get to our geek culture. I mean, excuse me, our software of the week, not our geek culture. Our geek software of the week, we're going to talk about something that's going to be even more powerful than what IE7 and even Firefox can do. Whoa. Check that out in just a few minutes. But at any rate, that's what I'm trying to get to real quickly. The thing about it is, there are some of you IT folks that are going to want to prevent that automatic deployment of Internet Explorer 7. Now, not avoid it entirely, obviously, but you want to do it on your own time, your own schedule, not when Microsoft says, okay, it's ready, and push it right out. So what Microsoft has done is they at least have provided a means to disable the automatic install of Internet Explorer 7 when they do that. They've done it with some registry changes, and there's a tool that a guy has made available to disable the automatic install of Internet Explorer 7 when it comes out. We've only got, like I said, a couple of weeks, so check out this tool. If you are an IT professional that is supporting a large network, you really need to check this link out, because I think you'll find it will help you tremendously. All right, this next item is a big one. Whoa. You know, like I say sometimes, it's a big one. Okay? Throw my little lingo in there. All right, 20 things most users don't know about Windows XP. This is good stuff. It really, really is. You know, let me just give you an example. From the first one, the very first one on the list. I have written various code and, you know, system batch files and deployed all kinds of things to get information about networked systems. Because, again, supporting a large network of computers running Microsoft Windows, sometimes you need to know various things about that computer. You need to grab that information. And I wrote this long, involved program that pulls that information, writes it to a file on a network share, and then you can go get that information about that computer. And it's very slick and very nice, and we've been using it for years at the Center for Creative Leadership. You know, even when I left and then now have come back there, they've still been using it all this time to gather information. It's called the SysInfo program. Well, guess what is in Windows XP Professional? If you go to the command prompt and type system info, one long word, system info, it will spit out a ton of information, including all the Windows updates that have been done, all kinds of things, information that is very useful to you as a network administrator. Now, at this point, using this, all you got to do is say system info pipe and a file name, the pipe, of course, being the greater than sign on the command prompt line. So system info pipe info.txt, for instance, will create a file called info.txt that you can just open with Notepad and look at later, or save it to a network share like I did with the system SysInfo program that I wrote. All of that, and who knew it was there? I didn't know it was there. I've been fooling with Windows for years, but apparently this came along in Windows XP, and it's in the professional version. This particular one is in the professional version only. Now, there's all kinds of other things. They have ways to delete files immediately instead of going to the recycle bin. There's ways you can lock your XP workstation with two clicks of the mouse by setting up a little link on your desktop. There's you know, hints for software removal. Oh, man, it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Check it out. Read all the hints and tips, and oh, this is the kind of thing I love to provide folks because it's really cool. And number 20 The guy that wrote it says, Windows XP secretly knows that the average user has no idea what they're doing. Therefore, it doesn't let you do really stupid things like deleting the Windows directory, at least not without spending several hours convincing you really want to do it. And oh yeah, Internet Explorer kind of sucks, so get Firefox. You gotta appreciate this guy that provided all this information and then threw that in at the end. If you're looking for Firefox, by the way, there's a little link on the right-hand column of the blog here that says Safer, Faster, Better Firefox. Click on that. Boom. It'll take you right to Firefox. You really ought to download it and use it and just kind of just forget about Internet Explorer 7. Come on. I mean, Firefox is way, way better. Okay, next item. Eudora email. Oh, man. That gets me started thinking back. You know, here I am, the old computer curmudgeon, thinking back to the days of yore. Yeah, sonny, I remember back when Eudora email was one of the hot email clients of the day. Oh, yeah, I used to use Eudora, and there were a couple other ones, but Eudora was the big dog, so to speak, of the email clients, and it had lots of features that Outlook didn't even think about having back then. I mean, we're talking way, way back. And, of course, people have still been using Eudora for all these years. Now, I haven't used Eudora in a long, long time, mostly because I use my typical web client that I use is actually Squirrel Mail. I use a web-based client called Squirrel Mail for my personal email from all of my websites and all of everything else. If you write me an email, chances are real good I'm going to be reading it in Squirrel Mail. But I'm also kind of getting used to Thunderbird, and I am using that more. I'm trying to kind of wean myself off of the web browser interface because it is getting just a little bit long in the tooth, and so I'm using Thunderbird a little more. But I tell you what, I'm really charged up about Zimbra. If I can get the best of both worlds, where I can get all the graphical coolness and all the things I can do, and then also have it be a web interface, I'm there. So I'm working on setting up a Zimbra server for myself, and I'll tell you more about that as I get into it. Maybe we'll make that a geek project where I can tell you exactly how to set up a Zimbra server once I get it all done. But at any rate, I just started playing with that a little bit. Eudora, though, is actually retiring. The company that makes it, Qualcomm, is actually retiring Eudora, and that's kind of a shame after all these years, but I can understand it. Thunderbird has just gotten so popular and so cool. So what Qualcomm is doing is there, and this is an unusual step, they're working with Mozilla Foundation, they're working with them to develop a version of Thunderbird called Penelope that will be optimized for Eudora customers. In other words, it will have features and things in it that will take advantage of their Eudora setup, and it'll actually pull some of the contact list information, their stored emails, all kinds of things, allow them to do their conversion over to Thunderbird very easily. And that's just really unusual for one company to work with another company like that when they start retiring an email client. So really, really interesting that they would do that. And I tell you, the fact that they're doing it is pretty wild in and of itself. All right, here's the one I've been holding out for, trying to make sure we had enough time to adequately cover. Here it is. Now, let me give you some background. First of all, this Geek Software of the Week is not exactly software, so it's a little bit unusual. It's not our typical Geek Software of the Week where you have some free piece of software that I've tried that I really like and thought was cool and wanted to share with you. This is actually simply a flat file, a plain old text file. Nothing fancy about it in and of itself. But this file, if you use it to replace your local hosts file on Windows, will do some pretty amazing things. It'll feel like it's actually some software running in the background because you'll be amazed at how much faster your web experience will be. Now, let me set this up by saying this. When you go to a typical website, they have all kinds of programs they're participating in for ad revenues because of clicking and registering that you have visited their site from the site you originally clicked on the ad. Okay? You may even notice when you go to a website, if you look down in your lower left-hand corner as a site loads, you'll see all kinds of site addresses flipping by, like Google Syndication and DoubleClick.net and all kinds of other things that will be flipping by as the page loads things from all these different ad revenue generating websites. Now, some of them, like Google, are above board, simply advertisements, and let me say this up front. I participate in Google's AdSense program. I found it to be, you know, not terribly distracting, and you know, it's not so bad that it detracts from the website. I've tried to be very sure that the ads that are on our site are not terribly obtrusive, okay? But by carrying those ads, and if people do click on them, it is somewhat beneficial to a website owner. Now, to tell you the truth, I've only done it for probably the last 3 to 4 months, and I have just now, and I'm not talking about just on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon's website, I'm talking about all the websites that I'm involved in, I started using Google AdSense, okay, and allowing those ads to show up. I'm talking about my main site, which is drbillbailey.net, and all the different sites have those AdSense links. And in about 3 or 4 months, I've just now passed the $50 threshold. I've yet to get even one check from it. I've yet to see any actual cash money, but it has at least passed the $50 point. You may say, wow, Dr. Bill, that's not even enough to fool with. Well, yes and no, because you don't have to really do anything. You put the code in your website, and then you just sit back and do nothing. And you do whatever it is you normally would be doing, which is sharing information about, you know, the computer world and all that, like I do here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, doing the podcast, from which I don't get any revenue anyway. But the occasional folks that click on those ads throws back just a little bit of money, and it's basically $50 more than I'd have had I not done it at all. Okay? So it's not huge, all right? Now, if I had, say, a dig.com, you know, the revenue generated by that website is, whoa, through the roof. Okay, so we're talking way small potatoes, all right? But here's the issue. This Geek Software of the Week will shoot that completely in the foot. In other words, if you use this, I won't get any more ad revenue from AdSense off of my websites through you, okay? Because you won't even see the ads anymore. They won't be there. They won't show up. You say, whoa, Dr. Bill, how's that possible? Well, here's how it works. All these websites, DoubleClick, which, you know, like I said, Google is kind of on the high side. DoubleClick's on the low side. There are sites that, unfortunately, websites can choose to participate in, of which I don't. Okay, let me make that very clear. I don't participate in those kinds of programs. But they have ads. Have you ever seen the banner ad that says, hit the monkey and win a prize? Oh, man, how lame is that? But here's the thing. If you do that, if you hit the monkey, it registers that click, and they grab your information, cookie information, all kinds of stuff about you, and probably that website will also infect you with some adware or spyware. I mean, bad stuff, okay? So, this host file, what it does, by using this host file, all of those ads that would typically load when you go to somebody's website that's participating in those programs will resolve to your local machine, not to their web servers. Yeah, sneaky, huh? Yeah. So what will happen is, instead of seeing the banner that says, hit the monkey and win a prize, you'll see the area, little white area where that banner would have appeared, and a little thing that says, basically cannot resolve it. It'll be like a little broken web link. But the ad won't be there. And not only that, they'll never know. It'll never register that you ever hit that website and that they were part of that program. It's like you weren't even going to the website as far as they're concerned. So, as a website owner that's participating in Google AdSense, me telling you this is like, duh, Dr. Bill, what's the matter with you? if you tell folks this and they use this host file, you're not going to get any ad revenue. Well, yeah. And I did have to kind of, what do I do here? Didn't take that long to think about, though, because I'm more interested in your computer safety. I'm more interested in you being safe on the web. And so it's more important that I share this information with you, that you take advantage of it. And, yeah, even though it eliminates the ads on my site and all my other sites, well, you know, that's okay. Because I'd rather see you protect it, all right? And, you know, like I say, that was kind of a, what do I do here? But it's just too cool. I have tried it for the last week or so. I've used it both personally and at work on my computer. And I'm telling you, it makes the websites load faster that you want to go to. You get the content you actually went to the site for instead of all this other mess. It's really cool and really nice. So I'd encourage you to try it. And like I say here on the blog entry that I did on it, you know, you can always save your old host file. Just relabel it to host.old. And then you can always copy that one back over the host file, which, by the way, is actually at C, Windows, System 32, drivers, etc. Okay? In that location, you will find an existing host file that usually doesn't have very much in it. Typically, it's just the standard Microsoft-supplied host file. So save that one first, if you want to, and then copy over the host file that's at the link in my blog that I call the Mega Host File, and you will have a tremendous way to keep from getting infected by a lot of different stuff out there. So it's a really big hint and tip for you. And like I say, it functions like it's some kind of special software protection for your web browser, but it's actually just simply host file resolution. Really, really cool. Well, we're out of time. Gonna have to go. Tell you what, though, I'm glad that we had the chance to share with you about the host file and all the other items this week, and I encourage you to join me next week. I know this has been a little bit more of a serious, geeky version, but next week maybe we'll have some more cool geek culture. How's that? All right, remember, until next week, write me, Dr. Bill, at thecomputercurmudgeon.com. I'll get it right. And remember, until next week, that the doctor